Good evening, everyone. My name is Lindsay Watson. This is Influence Unplugged. Thank you so much for joining us again tonight. I am super excited, really, really excited about tonight's guest. We have the one, the only, Dr. Lynette Lukers. Dr. Lynette is a certified grief and recovery specialist and has had over 20 years of experience in the healthcare industry, specifically within mental health and wellness. We have an important topic to talk about today, and I think that this is a great opportunity and platform for us. So thank you so much for joining us tonight, Dr. Lukers.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, so I want to just set the tone a little bit because you and I, we've known each other in community, right, for a couple of years now, but really have gotten a chance to talk a little bit more about your trade. And when we spoke, I was just blown away by the skill set you have as a woman of color, and the fact that you took a leap of faith to start your own business to really hone in on providing grief support and care, right, for the community. And so we're going to talk about that. And the reason why I bring that up is the seasons are changing, holidays are coming up, and for so many who've experienced loss, this is maybe their first time having to do things, you know, in a different way. So would you mind talking to us a little bit about the history, your journey? What led you to get into this career?
Yes. So I've been working in this area for about 20 years. I started working in higher education, servicing students, providing counseling services to them, and just noticing that there were not that many individuals that looked like myself that I could identify and connect with. So in that environment, for me, a lot of students just, you know, gravitated to me as their counselor, as their mentor, advocate, and all the things, and guiding them through the college setting. And then from there, it was also my own personal journey. So in 2009, my mom passed away from end-stage renal kidney failure. But probably those last 5 years leading up to her death, I had multiple losses. So my grandmother had passed away when I was in graduate school. My mom had a heart attack literally like 5 days after we buried my grandmother. My mom didn't realize how stressed she was. You know, and most families were planning. We don't have time to breathe. We got a 1 week turnaround to plan a funeral. My mom had a heart attack. As a result, she was placed on dialysis 3 days a week. And then literally a year later, my aunt passed away, and then about 4 or 5 years later, my mom passed away. Wow. So those were multiple deaths in my life, and those were three pivotal, you know, strong Black women that were really instrumental in my life. And I was also, you know, in my 20s, so I was navigating life, you know, finding my, you know, what did I want to do long term, my self-identity, all those different things, and navigating my mom being on dialysis and knowing that she wasn't eligible to receive a kidney because her health really deteriorated. Wow. So with that, that was, you know, a loss in itself, and trying to manage my grief, but didn't know what that looked like. Being 29 years old at the time, I was very few of my friends had lost their mom, so I didn't have individuals, communities that identified with me, that understood where I was at. You know, also going to school and just trying to, you know, you feel like, okay, all the fruits of my labor, I would love for my mom to see, but now she's not able to. So, like, how do I navigate that piece? And then even with that, I was also, my mom and dad were married for 35 years. My mom did everything, pretty much. My dad worked, my mom managed the finances. You know, my dad didn't know where was the checkbook, how to balance the checkbook, right, all the things. So when my mom passed away, I became that lifeline for my dad, where I was that wife, daughter, as they say, because my dad needed that support. So helping my dad, you know, manage the finances, the house, things just got too much for him. And then fast forward, he had a stroke in 2018 and ended up moving in with me. So I ended up becoming his caregiver, mainly 5 years. He lived with me for 4 years. And from that, just me being his caregiver, none of my friends understood that dynamic, didn't expect to be, now I'm the parent to my parent. And so how to navigate that space of when you're now the parent and to your parent, and they're stubborn and they're like, I raised you, and they don't want to listen, yeah. and you're trying to navigate the healthcare system and medication and all the things, that part was really challenging for me. And with that, unfortunately, my dad had passed away in 2023. And so even with that, my dad lived with me for 4 years, and I transitioned him. He had another stroke number two, about 3 weeks before my wedding. And so with that, physically, I couldn't manage him anymore. He needed 24-hour care, so yeah. I transitioned him into an assisted living facility. And that was challenging because in the Black community, we talk about, you know, you should never put your loved one mm-hmm. in a facility. They should be home with you. But at some point, how much can you manage? So if you've been able to manage all you can, and you've like, I've done everything on my part, I felt comfortable because I had, you know, my dad was with me for the 4 years. And yeah. then year number five, transitioning to him because I knew that I was at my limit, what I could give to him. And also trying to manage, I was working full time. I was serving as a college dean and, mm-hmm. you know, managing a large team and then also running back and forth in managing, help making sure his care was needed. Mm-hmm. And that was a different type of grief for me because loss of my own identity, you know, my had to really take some things off my schedule. So now I was fully devoting to my father. Also, my dad was changing in the sense of he used to be physically strong and yeah. watching him, deteriorating. So I was grieving over the life of who he used to be. And now he was someone else, and also developing dementia. So you're trying to hold on to all those different memories.
Yeah.
And so that's what catapulted like my backstory of like how grief has impacted me. And through that, I had earned my LPC, which is I'm a licensed professional counselor mm-hmm. in Pennsylvania. And I also earned my grief recovery specialist, just to help other individuals to navigate what grief looks like. So I started originally in the grief space and providing grief support groups within the church community. Because a lot of times in the church, we talk about, you know, you lean on your faith, yeah. right? But then you'll be okay. And sometimes praying is not enough. And sometimes, you know, reading the Bible is not enough. And holding on to the scriptures, it guides you, but it doesn't take away, like, how do I navigate this?
So this is powerful. And I wanted you to share the whole journey. There's so many golden nuggets. But thank you for being present and being here mm-hmm. to introduce a way for us to break some cycles that yep. have been introduced to us through generations mm-hmm. past. One of which you said, very powerful. In our community, we are taught and has been the way you don't seek care outside. You don't look for help outside mm-hmm. as if it's a weakness. Mm-hmm. But as you were saying, with everything you had going on, you understood there was a point where you needed to be strong and make that decision mm-hmm. to find care on the outside, mm-hmm. right? To support your dad the way he needed, but also acknowledging your capacity mm-hmm. and that you were at capacity. Yep. And I think sometimes that's a challenging thing for us to do in our community because we assume we're supposed to continue to do things the way that they were been doing. So thank you for sharing that. There's definitely a break that and a shift that needs to happen for us there. And then the other thing, and I want us to talk about this. Mm-hmm. You mentioned grief mm-hmm. and grieving even while your loved ones were still alive. Mm-hmm. And yeah. so to me, there's cycles of grief that maybe we can get into a little bit more mm-hmm. as you continue to tell your story, because the journey of grief, to your point, is most certainly does not start, you know, upon someone's mm-hmm. passing or a loss, right? There is right. a process even before that, grieving who our family or our loved ones once were, right? Mm-hmm. So can you talk a little bit about how you've learned to identify the different phases of grief?
Yeah. So, you know, I think a lot of times, as you said, grief, individuals think it's just a loss of a loved one. Mm-hmm. But loss is a loss of your home, your finances, you know, divorce, your children, you know, going off to college, all the things. So for me, there are stages of grief. There's denial, anger, acceptance, bargaining, and depression is also a part of it. So for me, I think at first, you know, I recognized when my dad was starting to slow down, the denial piece of, is this really happening to him? Maybe I'm overthinking. Maybe I'm missing some cues. And especially when your loved one is not forthcoming about everything that's going on with them.
Yes.
They hide some things. And so I was able to, you know, over time, like, okay, something, you know, so now I need to start going to the doctors with him and reporting like what I share with the doctor, like what I'm seeing. And also, you know, finding a doctor that will listen to not only my dad's concerns, but really like my concerns, because sometimes, you know, physicians can just, you know, you're another number in the door. So not for all, but for some is, you know, and I think also, too, in the community, as our loved ones get older, sometimes in the healthcare system, we can write them off. Like, well, they're elderly, so, you know, they're not contributing to society anymore.
Wow.
So you're not necessarily maybe, like, listening to them or paying attention to them or lumping everything all together.
Yeah.
And that one little piece that, for me, I was unaware that my dad, with stroke number one, it could potentially cause dementia. It could potentially cause seizures. No one shared that with me. So I started seeing some things over time, over from 2018 until 2022. I was like, something is wrong. It's, you know, more than, you know, what they're telling me. And also, for me, it was a little challenging because my dad also suffered from bipolar. So for many years. So it was the bipolar piece. Then he was developing dementia. And they're like, it's all one and the same. I'm like, well, how is that all one and the same? And that was, you know, challenging and navigating, like, which part was the bipolar, which part is the dementia.
Yeah.
And so when we're going through different stages in our life, just different, you know, phases, happy milestones, challenges, you know, you're grieving over like what your life used to be. So for instance, my dad moving in, it was challenging for me for a while because I lived by myself. I had my own house, I had my own space. So now I had to share my space with my dad. And when you've been used to living by yourself, now you have to integrate someone. That was an adjustment for me. It was also an adjustment of also just giving up some of the things I was a part of. I had to slow down.
Yeah.
And so I was always like on the go, on the go. And so I was so used to being able to attend everybody's events. And then now I had to pull back. That was an adjustment for me, a loss, and being able to finally tell people no, where I was a yes person all the time. So recognizing that, also in that for myself, I went to therapy because recognizing like I need that support, that sounding board, being able to show up for myself. And if I wasn't healthy, I couldn't be available for my dad to support him.
Yeah.
And that's really key in knowing like, how are you doing? Even when I was caregiving for my dad for a while, I stopped going to the doctors, not keeping up on my appointments because I was so focused on making sure he had everything that I was beginning to neglect myself and my, you know, personal health, as well as not working out, not eating healthy because I was just pushing through.
Yeah.
And a lot of times caregivers, they end up getting sick. And sometimes they end up dying before the person that they're caring for because of neglecting their self.
And that's exactly why tonight's conversation is really normalizing talking about grief. Mm-hmm. We're going to take a quick break. I did not forget about faith, scripture, and then action. So we're going to talk about that. And we're also going to dive into what you're doing now and how someone can prepare for, you know, this season ahead. Who may be in a phase of grief, any phase, as you've so wonderfully identified for us. So we'll be right back.
All right.
For the past three decades, WDIY has sustained itself through direct contributions from listeners. Our model is simple. The people who listen to the service are the ones who support the service. As WDIY celebrates its landmark 30th anniversary, we invite you to join us as a WDIY member by making a membership gift today. This is something you could do right now to make a meaningful difference in your community. Call 610-694-8100 extension 4 or online at wdiy.org.
Welcome back, everyone. My name is Lindsay Watts, and this is Influence Unplugged. We are here with Dr. Lynette Lukers, and we are talking about grief. In the previous segment, we talked a little bit about our faith. And again, in our community, you pray, You read the Bible, you read your scriptures, and then you either store it away somewhere or you shove it down, right? And you don't really address or take those actions to do something. That's just how we've learned. And in a lot of ways, our faith is so important to us and a huge part of even our decision-making. So we leave space for that. But let's talk about what happens after the faith, after we pray. What would you suggest we do when we experience loss? What's the first thing that we can do?
I would say seek out therapy. So I believe in faith and therapy go hand in hand. Mm. But connecting with a therapist, so going online, you can go on Psychology Today. Like myself, I provide individual counseling for individuals who are dealing with grief and loss. Connecting with me to provide services. I could do a consultation with you so we can walk through what are you looking for, how can I best fit, you know, to serve you, as well as also if you know of someone who's dealing with grief, sometimes just guiding them through because they may not even realize that they are grieving, especially if it's your first major loss. Yeah. Every loss is different. So you may have dealt with three or, you know, had several family members passed away, but then that one significant loss may just tear you apart where you're not able to function. You're noticing maybe your eating habits have changed. You're not sleeping, you're frustrated, agitated, all the things, and especially going into the holiday season,
yeah.
All those things, you're first, the first of everything. And when you lose someone, you know, your first time graduating without that loved one there, it will hit you. And grief comes in ebbs and flows. So you just never know when it's going to hit you. Not everyone is ready for therapy right away when their loved one passes away. Sometimes they're just overwhelmed with the estate planning, everything, you know, finalizing everything. Cleaning out the house is overwhelming. And even with that brings a lot of grief going through someone's, all their memories, their clothes, having that support system of friends to help you, because you could sit in a house all day trying to clean out some your loved one's items and are just stuck.
Yeah.
So just finding that support system first, having family, friends check on you, and then also looking for a therapist or even attending a grief support group where you can hear other individuals share their stories. For some, they may not be as willing to seek out a therapist. They may be more willing to go to their pastor within the church. Some pastors are licensed. They, you know, provide spiritual counseling, and they also have a marriage and family therapy license as well, or individuals in the church. And then also for myself, you know, I am a therapist, but I also am a faith-based therapist as well. So if you are looking for a faith-based therapist, I can provide that for you. If you want to talk from a biblical perspective, that's one of the key things that I can provide for you. And if you're not looking for that and you just want the grief, strictly grief focus, I can provide that as well.
That's great. So you have different focus areas for your business and trade. And so let's go back to the start. Your recommendation is to find therapy, find support. Mm-hmm. And if therapy, if someone's not ready for that yet, to find support within their own community.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
We talked a little bit kind of off mic, but I want to bring it back. And you may have alluded to this a little bit. If I am in community and I see someone who's experiencing grief and they may or may not be in a space to identify that they are different, that they are going through grief, how can we as community look out for our loved ones and help or introduce, even if it's just a soft introduction for support? How do you do that in a way that's empathetic and also just really being sensitive to everything that they're going through?
Yeah, I think it's just continuing to love on them and just showing up for them. It could be something as simple as dropping off food for them. It could be a hug. And I think that not to get frustrated with them, because everyone doesn't move at the pace that we want them to move. And so that's the piece. And also being mindful of our words, being mindful of not saying to a friend or a loved one, it's been 6 months, you know, you've been in the house all summer, you know, all summer,
right.
All year, you haven't come out, you need to get out of this, you know. Grief is not a marathon. It's not a sprint. It's not a marathon. It's just a slow walk pace. For some individuals are just jumping in and they are so overwhelmed with everything. So they're just managing multiple things. And so the grief may not really hit them until year five, year 10. They lost a loved one. They're like, wow, now I'm stifled. You know, the grief has stricken me that I didn't even realize I've been hurting this whole time. So I would really try to maybe just encourage them, even if it's just a little like soundbite podcast or anything you see on like YouTube where they can identify with, if you know that. You know, that's encouraging. It could be a song. It could be something inspirational. Sometimes people just need, like, little things. And even if it's just something as simple as, you know, how can I help you? I'll find a therapist for you. Maybe you go online, you find, like, 3 to 5 therapists and say, here, so you don't have to do the research.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you're just overwhelmed. For someone that's grieving, they're overwhelmed with, like, where do I begin? Mm. So just taking those little steps, like, hey, I found, you know, I heard of Dr. Lynette on this radio show, so I you might want to listen to her. Or maybe I found someone, you know, found this person, maybe a female or male, maybe just ask them, if you know that person, like, who would they identify with more? Is it a female? Is it a male?
Right.
And just providing them different options. And maybe just sitting there, even coming up with some questions so that they can ask the therapist and starting the process.
I love that because that's very actionable. It's in it. For someone like me, I'll get in research all day, right, for my loved ones. It's something I can do. Clean, help clean.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, there are different things, right? We all have our strengths. So, the reason why I bring that up is a lot of times, just as you said, we can be so overwhelmed and maybe know what should be done, but that extra push, hey, I've researched, I found 3 people, you know, when you're ready, right? In love, mm-hmm. Here, this is here for you. Until then, I'm here to, you know, show up and show up for you in love. Mm-hmm. So thank you for sharing that. So the journey of you becoming certified in your trade and specializing in grief and loss therapy, mm-hmm. and support, can you talk to us a little bit about what that journey would be like if we were to sign up with someone like you? How do you approach, is there a structure or format that you have when you begin to work with new clients?
Yeah, definitely. So I do a 15-minute consultation beforehand just to make sure, you know, we're both good fit for each other, as well as, like, what are your goals? And then from there, when we meet, one is developing a treatment plan. When I say treatment plan, it's just identifying what those goals will be, whether it's 1 to 3 goals. Also seeing, you know, where you're at, if you're looking to meet weekly, bi-weekly, monthly, we can set up a schedule that way. And then from there, just diving into, like, let me find out, like, your story. I do have a curriculum that I can do that's 8 to 12 weeks, but it just depends on the person and their, what they need. Sometimes it's deeper than just the loss of a loved one. Sometimes it's things that are triggered by childhood that is also playing a part in the grief piece.
Yeah.
For some individuals, they may have done therapy before, so they don't need maybe necessarily to start from the beginning, but it's just like, this is where I'm at, or I just want to solely focus on this piece. And then just working with that person, I am very action-oriented, so whether it's journaling, I do some writing techniques based upon also individuals' like experience, what they love most, mm-hmm. and centered that piece. It can be very lethargic. You know, therapy is work. So I find that for some individuals in the beginning part, they're like, okay, this is great. And then over time, it becomes, you know, self-reflective. And that's when it can get challenging. You know, I look at it as exercising. After a while, when you're exercising, you're moving, running, lifting heavier, you're going to be sore, right? And so when you're sore, if you didn't pull a muscle, right, there's nothing really physically wrong with you, and you're just like, well, I'm sore, I don't want to go back. Mm-hmm. Well, that's a part of working out. You're going to be sore.
Yeah.
So with diving into, like, who you are and going deep as far as your triggers, how to develop coping skills, all that, it's not easy, right? Because if it was easy, everyone would sit and talk with someone.
Right.
Talking about yourself and thinking back on, like, memories can be difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and that's why we needed Dr. Lynette. Yeah. Right? That's exactly why I often like to say every coach needs a coach. And it's so important. I want to revisit this. Grief is not just when we experience the loss of a loved one. It is also when our lives change, when we have to welcome a family member or loved one in to care for them when our lives change significantly. And so I am happy to hear you really identifying yourself as a therapist holistically, with grief and loss being a specialty. But by no means do we necessarily need to wait, right, to find a therapist, to find support, even when there are major transitionings happening in our lives as it pertains to our loved ones. And so that's very encouraging to hear. And I'm even thinking like, wow, this is good conversation to continue to have, even in my own community. So fall is approaching. Couldn't come fast enough for me, but I'm a little biased.
You're a fall person.
I am. But fall's coming up. The holidays are coming up. In addition to grief and loss, we got family members and friends and people we may want to see and people we may not want to see, people we have to see. And so there can be a lot of stress, right? And as you said, this is also going to be a season of firsts for so many. Can you give us maybe two or three coping tips for us as we're transitioning into, you know, these different seasons, either as this being a first for us or just really how to manage stress with these seasons ahead?
So, you know, one thing that stands out to me, I think for a lot of individuals when they're going through the holidays, sometimes they may isolate themselves. And so I think community is so important and fellowship is so important. For some, they thrive in that environment, but also if you are a person that you're struggling being around others, maybe it's just for the holidays, Thanksgiving dinner is at 5 o'clock, right? You arrive first, so you can at least maybe be there for an hour where maybe it's less family members. That might be helpful for you versus showing up in the middle where everyone is there and maybe you feel like all eyes is on me. What are they thinking? What are they saying about me? And sometimes you're like, no one is saying anything, but you're just, it's just hard to be in that space. I also would say just being mindful of, you know, this is a time of year where individuals may have unhealthy coping skills. So drinking, smoking, those things you want to be mindful of. Is that picking up more for you as far as how are you engaging? So looking out for those things that, you know, may be harmful to yourself. But I would say during these holiday season is just take it all in stride. So maybe you decide, do I want to, should I host, should I not host? I can't this year. You know, let me ask someone to host. I maybe can't do a full, you know, if you're one that's into decorating the whole house, maybe it's just, I can't do that this year. I might just put something, a wreath on the door and that's it. Do things that are manageable for you. And also, it might be something as simple as you may say, well, maybe I'll just make that loved one's favorite dish in honor of them. You have to do what is good for you. And if you say, I can't make that dish, it's okay.
It's,
you know,
okay.
And get, it really more than anything for me, I think in the holiday season is extending grace to yourself. And I think a lot of times we don't extend grace to ourselves yet to others. So just, you know, it's okay. It's okay not to be okay. It's okay to be sad. And it's okay to miss your loved one in the holiday season and going into the new year. You're not the first. And there's other individuals around you that are dealing with the same thing.
This is great. Talk to us a little bit about the name of your business, just so our listeners can look you up.
So my name of the my business is Soul Good Healing. So identifying that your soul is so important. If you're happy, you're doing good. So Soul Good Healing, you can find me on Psychology Today. I provide services. I accept health insurance as well as private pay, as well as a sliding scale as well. So I really try to service those who are can afford it and those who are unable to afford. How can I work with you? Because I want to, mental health and wellness is so important and so important to our Black and Brown communities.
So important. And we're so grateful to have you here based in the Lehigh Valley as well to provide the services. So we thank you. Thank you, Dr. Lynette Lukers, because this is critically important. This topic is so important for all of us, but especially our community. And I hope that we were able to do a good enough job with being able to really introduce how to normalize talking about grief and loss, and some steps, you know, to get us on that journey of having the right support. So thank you so much again, everyone. This is Influence Unplugged. I hope that you are as moved as I have been tonight. And please feel free to share this podcast with whoever you see fit. That may be step number one for your loved ones. Until next time, my name is Lindsay Watson, and this is Influence Unplugged. Thanks for joining us.